This is a production of Money Honey Media. All advice in this podcast is general in nature. It should not be applied to your personal circumstances without first discussing with a tax professional.
Hi, I'm Gemma Corley.
And I'm Martin Lowe.
Welcome to the Accidental Bookkeeper podcast, where we have fun unpacking the boring but important things you need to know to run your small business. Today we are having an advisory session and we're talking about, what are we talking about, Martin?
Talking about what makes a great customer experience.
Great. Okay. So welcome back to the podcast, Martin.
Thanks, Jo.
Okay. Well, what does make a great customer experience?
Well, I've come up with an acronym today, which I think will resonate with a lot of people. And it's called LACS.
Okay.
It sounds a bit weird, but it's actually...
You and your acronyms.
L-A-C-S.
All right. Let's start with that.
Did you know, Joe, that LACS is a unit in the Indian numbering system?
No.
That actually represents 100,000 rupiah.
Well, there you go.
That's 1 lakh.
1 lakh.
So there you go.
I actually didn't know what was a real word. I thought it was like just one of those Monopoly words where you make something up and then say, no, it really is something.
It is something. I mean, it's got multiple meanings, but that's one of the main meanings that it has.
So it's 100,000 rupiah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 1 lakh. Yep.
Well, there you go. I did not know that.
But from a customer experience perspective, it doesn't represent 100,000 rupiah.
Okay.
It's something completely different.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit about that, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let me just talk you through what LACS means from a customer experience point of view. So the L stands for listen. Mm-hmm. The A stands for acknowledge and act.
Yep.
The C stands for consistency. Mm-hmm. And the S stands for seamless.
Okay. Where do you want to start?
So we'll start with listen, I guess. In terms of the overall customer experience, one of the most important things that you need to do is listen to your customer. Mm-hmm. And that might be feedback that you want to hear or you don't want to hear. It's important that you listen and take on board that feedback, mm-hmm. Which brings me to point two, which is acknowledge.
Yep.
So if a customer writes to you and has a query, a concern, a question, it's important that you acknowledge that. Even if it's feedback that you don't necessarily agree with, you need to acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. And then obviously put the appropriate steps in place and act, mm-hmm. hence the acknowledge and act. The third point, the C, represents consistency. Now, that is about actually across your entire organisation, making sure that you're consistent in your approach with your customer. And I'll talk more about what that looks like.
Yeah, great.
But essentially, in a nutshell, it's making sure that you actually have a team that's trained to actually work with your customer and actually understands the entire process of that customer, the customer journey map, mm-hmm. And that process is consistent throughout. And the fourth point is about being seamless. You want to make it easy for your customer.
Yes.
Okay, so you want to make that journey easy. Now, there's a couple of ways you can do that, and I'll talk a little bit about that. I'll jump to that now. So one of the things that is really key in terms of creating a seamless customer experience is making sure that where possible that it's a one-stop shop. So when the customer calls through, they've got a query, they're not transferred, bounced around, you know, asked to be called back, etc. It's a one-stop shop. So they call in, the employee on the other end of the phone should be able to answer the query. Now, if they can't answer the query, that's okay. But what's important is that they actually are able to provide the customer with an update and say, look, I'll get someone to call you back within a certain amount of time, and then follow through on that and make sure that that action happens and keep the customer informed. You might not have the update immediately. That's okay. It's about actually making sure the customer's kept informed throughout the entire process.
Yeah.
So that's LACS in a nutshell.
Right.
Probably one of the things, and Joe, we've been doing a bit of work around this lately in our business, is actually having a customer journey map, which starts with how you onboard your customers.
Onboarding.
Right? So onboarding, really important, right? So first impressions do count. You know, a lot of people talk about that, but it actually is really important how you actually introduce your customer, the first engagement that they have. The experience that they take away will resonate with them longer term, and you've got to be consistent throughout, right? So if they have a good experience with you, Joe, which no doubt they will. You know, you want to make sure that that's actually followed through
throughout your team. Yeah, I think one of the things we're finding, though, and this is part of our onboarding as well, we are definitely working on this onboarding process with you and trying to pull that together. But one of the challenges we're having, and I'm sure other businesses have similar ones, and I'm not discounting how important I am or not important, but often the first person that they talk to is me, as the business owner. But, you know, they have the meeting with me. We talk about what they're going to do. The jigsaw is not just me. I have a whole team. And then from then on, the client feels that the only person that they are able to talk to is me. And so I'm constantly getting emails from and phone calls and messages asking for things that I'm probably not, first of all, the best person to do it. But also it does interrupt my time that I could be spending doing other things for other people or even for that client as well. So, you know, for example, if someone needs some financials sent to the bank, I'm not the best person to do that. But because we haven't done a proper onboarding process with them, they don't necessarily know that. So this is one of the things that we're trying to work on is when the person does come on board, first of all, making sure that we get them on pretty easily without them too much pain. And then secondly, actually introducing to them who everyone in the team is and what they're doing so that they know who the right person is to go to rather than going to the wrong person. And honestly, I do get probably 50 emails an hour in my inbox. So it's kind of not that I'm likely to miss it, but I may not prioritise it if it's not something that feels like it's, like, you know, I'll flick it to someone else. So that's how it's going to be answered. But then I'm not necessarily acknowledging the client with that either. I'm just saying, hey, Jenna, can you do this? Or hey, Jade, can you do this? Or hey, Martin, can you do this? But I'm not telling the client that that's what's happening. So I think it's just taking that little bit of extra time to make sure we're communicating what's going on as well.
Absolutely. And making sure that you're directing traffic. So it's important that you set the right expectation, or not necessarily expectation, but make sure the customer understands that who they can go to, right? So they can get that answer first off, so they're not bounced around the organisation.
Yeah.
So knowing who they can speak to and knowing that they're going to get the answer first time when they actually speak to them, that's really important. And, you know, as I said, that will help in actually resolving the customer's query quickly and efficiently.
Yeah, for sure.
Making sure that they're going to the right person, but also that they have the right skill set to be able to address that particular issue, which is part of the onboarding process.
Yeah. So what else do you think is important from a customer? Like, we've got them on board now. What else are we going to do
with
them? they're here now. You're stuck with us for life.
I think also, you know, one of the things is important is actually making sure that everybody understands the entire journey of the customer. So looking at a customer journey map from end to end, what does that look like for you? For not just from our perspective, but from a customer's perspective. So really mapping that out and having a clear map that actually explains what happens at each stage. One of the things where I think a lot of organisations fall down is they actually introduce the customer, they onboard them fantastically, but then they don't have that ongoing follow-up. So if the customer gets stuck at any point, you know, they're like, well, they have to phone. So you want to try and be proactive in that engagement. You want to try and actually introduce that customer to a process that actually works in their favour. Now, everybody's different and, you know, each customer will want different things, but to just be that touch point for the customer, knowing that they've got someone that they can call or they can follow up, and actually being proactive in that space will help immensely. The other thing that's really important is actually having a you know, using technology to your advantage. So having a good system, a software system that actually helps you manage that experience. So you know, Joe, when you go into a customer that I've spoken to them last week, and you can then follow on from that. So if it's part of the onboarding process, I know that Joe's spoken to them about, you know, you've spoken to them about, you know, this tax return or about, you know, this BAS or whatever the conversation was about this advisory piece. I can then pick that up with them and actually I've already got a history on it. So they're not having to repeat themselves again. Mm. So not going back over something that they've already discussed with you. There's a history there and we can actually see that when we speak to them. So that's important.
I think it's important, one of the things that you did say there is that everyone does have different things that they want. And like from our business, we have people who would like us to talk to them every week, right?
Yeah.
They want to know where they're up to. And then there's other people who are really like, leave us alone. We just want you to tell us what our tax return is. And we only want to talk to you once a year. So it is really hard to kind of work that balance. So it's not – people don't fit into a box. And I know a lot of accounting firms do try to put their people into a box and say, right, you know, you have to use zero, you have to do this, you have to do that. And I think that's something that we – are working towards, trying to make sure that our approach is tailored to the client, but we definitely haven't got there yet.
Yeah, no.
It's hard.
Yeah, and again, I think it comes back to consistency, mm-hmm. right? It's actually having that consistent approach, and it does start from top down.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's important that we lead the team on that journey and make sure that they understand what that looks like from a customer's perspective. And look, we've all had bad customer experiences, let's be real. We know, you know, what a bad customer experience is. I could tell you many stories where, you know, customers haven't gotten back to me or a delivery hasn't arrived that I was expecting, and you try and follow up and, you know, the person on the other end is clueless as to what you're actually trying to achieve through that phone call, and you spend countless hours of your time, and time is a precious resource, on following on up on stuff that potentially you didn't need to if it had been managed appropriately in the first place.
Have you got any suggestions on how we do deal with like negative feedback? Like, I've just had a client recently, like as in 2 days ago, this last 2 days, they've been having a bit of an, you know, a complaint about the work we did and the way that they were invoiced and whatever. Like, have you got any suggestions on how as a team we can kind of workshop that without it feeling like we're laying blame? Because part of the blame is probably me, but it's not just me that was involved in whatever has obviously gone wrong for this client. I don't want the staff to think I'm blaming them, but I think it's something worth workshopping on how we could have done that better.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really great point, Joe. I think workshopping some of the issues or experiences that your customer have had, because that will then lend itself to bringing in new ideas around how we can manage things differently moving forward. So running a workshop, one of the things that we do on a weekly basis, obviously, is run a huddle. It's worth bringing that up in the huddle and talking about it and, you know, workshopping it there. Spend 15 minutes, half an hour on it and just talk through what the experience was with the customer and how could it have been managed differently. You're not blaming anyone. You're not saying it was this person or that person. Yeah. You know, quite often, you know, it could be purely it comes back to the onboarding process in terms of setting the right expectation. What will we deliver for you? From the outset, if you don't set that expectation up front, then, you know, your customer's expectation could be completely different to what yours is. So
yeah.
I think that's really important. But really, I think workshopping is a great way to actually work through the problem, look at how, you know, what were some of the challenges, how could we have done things differently, and what could we do in the future to make sure that it doesn't happen again. Yeah. And I think also one of the most important things is actually just taking on board that feedback. You might, as I say, you may not necessarily agree with the feedback that's been given, but feedback is feedback and it's an important part of your business. In terms of building your business and scaling your business, it's important you take that on board and learn from that, again, whether you agree with it or not.
Yeah.
You know, there is a lesson in every bit of feedback you receive,
yeah.
whether that's positive or negative.
Yeah.
So take that on board.
I also acknowledge that sometimes – like the feedback we get, like everyone's naturally defensive. Like, you know,
yep.
I know I am. I'm like, oh, you know, well, we didn't really do that wrong or we didn't really do that. Like, but obviously to the client we did. So I think you need to look at that and go, where did this come into play that we didn't get this right? Did we not keep the right notes when we first spoke to them? Did we not write down what their preferences are? So And you know, I'm going back to some of the clients that we have lost in the last year that may have had some negative feedback on why they've gone elsewhere. You know, one of them particularly was very adamant that we hadn't hassled him enough. Like, now this person never gets you the information. We ask over and over again, never gets it to us, and we didn't hassle enough for that. Now, other people get reminders that they've got to sign their BAS and they are on the phone to me going, for God's sake, stop. Sending me reminders about this stuff, like, you know, what's going on here? So you can't please all the people no. all the time. You've got to have a way to know, well, what is the right thing for that client? But then that also becomes very time consuming when we have, you know, about 1,500 clients in our books to actually know, well, this person likes this and this. And I mean, we definitely should be working towards that. But I don't really know how to address that in the best way. I really don't. Like, it's probably a question, like, how do we address something like that? I want everyone to have the perfect experience, but I can't necessarily guarantee that when everyone wants different things.
Yeah, and I think, look, it comes back to understanding your customer, back to having the technology to support that so you can actually see, having consistent messaging across the company.
Yeah.
But what I find that's worked really well for me in the past, having led customer service teams, is it's about being proactive in your engagement with the customer, not necessarily reaching out to, or waiting for them to reach out to you, but actually reaching out to them and doing surveys and understanding, well, what are some of the things that they actually are looking for, you know, and getting some themes from that. So the more you actually understand your customer, and that comes through retention initiatives where you actually reach out to your customers proactively, whether it be by survey, by a phone, just, you know, take that time to actually implement a system that actually works for your business, that actually allows you to actually understand your customer, because you will find that there will be themes. There'll be, you know, a group of customers that like to, you know, they don't want you to be following up every couple of weeks. So it's about understanding that, and actually the only way you're going to do that is if you seek feedback. So it's not just about receiving feedback from the customer. It's also about seeking out feedback, whether that be direct or indirect.
It's definitely something I feel like I try hard and I don't always get it perfect. But, yeah, I think I can try harder at it too. So what else do you suggest? Have you got any other suggestions up there, Martin?
Look, I think it's just about actually understanding, really about having your team. I think it really sits with your team. So it is top down. It is about basically making sure that you've got the appropriate processes in place and policies to support what you're trying to achieve with your customer, and setting the expectation upfront with your customer. So coming back to what I said earlier around LAX, listening to your customer, acknowledging their concerns, their questions, and responding to those, being consistent in your response. And also I think one of the things I haven't really talked about is personalized service. So, you know, your customer is an extension of your business, so it's important that it is personalized and they actually feel part of your team, right? So you're there to help them, essentially. You're here to deliver a service. Yes, they're paying you for a service, but you're there to actually help them. You're there to make things easier for them, making it seamless, making it actually so they don't have to think about it, right? Yeah. They're coming to you as the expert. They're asking you for advice. Being able to deliver that advice and let them go away with peace of mind, knowing that actually I don't need to worry about this anymore because it's going to be dealt with by Joe or by the Jigsaw team. So
I think for me a lot of it is going back to where I have had really good customer service and thinking about how that happened and what they did there. And it can be, and again this is something that I personally don't think we do very well, it could be just a reminder that your appointment's coming up tomorrow. Like, you know, we aren't necessarily great at that, and then they don't turn up, or, you know, all little things like that. There's just such small little things. But, you know, when I've really thought customer service is great is when people do follow up. They do also ask you how you want to be communicated with. You know, again, do you want an SMS? Do you want an email? Do you want a phone call? Like, how do you want to know that your appointment is coming up tomorrow? That's something we really should be working on.
That's already in the onboarding process. So.
Yeah, but it's not just onboarding, it's everything, right? Yep. You know, then, you know, the fact that, you know, one of the examples I gave was recently I got a business loan, and when I did get that business loan it was a loan for something else. But the people rang me and walked through everything with me, and I really appreciated that, because the way they did it, they were very helpful. They were, you know, they had information about me, but they were sort of clarifying things with me. And it probably took 5-10 minutes out of my day, but it was actually made me feel really important that they could be bothered to do that. But then the other thing on the other flip side is I do get a lot of spam emails, right? And one thing I hate is when the spam email calls me Keith. Dear Keith, like, who the freaking hell is Keith? There's not even a Keith in my business. Where did that come from? Like, you know, I'm never going to deal with someone who sends me an email that says, "Dear Keith." So making sure you do have the facts straight. You know, obviously that's just come from some database that's obviously jumbled up and it's not right. And maybe we do that sometimes too. But I think it's important that we get those little touch points right, because they can be the tiniest little bugbear that really pisses people off as well.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things, again, going back to technology with AI the way it is now, artificial intelligence, a lot of people are leaning towards artificial intelligence to manage their customer experience, which doesn't really create a personalised experience.
No, it doesn't.
So if you're going to use artificial intelligence, I'd recommend that you actually embed that with a personalised experience as well along the way. So don't just rely purely on AI as part of your customer experience. One final thing I wanted to mention, Joe, before we close out, is that on the flip side, you know, like, you know, of a great customer experience, you know, the impact if you have a poor customer experience. Mm. We all know what a poor customer experience is. And I'm sure we've all had one in our lifetime or two. But, you know, the impact can be quite significant, you know, not just from a reputation perspective. You know, you've got Google reviews now. There's so many people today that rely on, I know I do, on, you know, Google reviews, on TripAdvisor, just to look at stuff, to see, you know, what reviews of that company are, and also to make sure they're legit, right? Because a lot of companies now are set up that aren't necessarily legit, and they've got reviews and you know, family and friends. So it's about actually reputation.
And that can also be the other way around too.
Absolutely,
you can have people putting a really bad review on.
Absolutely,
I know. I do on mine. I have a review of someone who is actually meant to be a friend of mine. I haven't seen him for years, but I don't know if he was just drunk one night and it was horrible. Like, give me – and but what – like, you know, so I think you've got to bear in mind – and there is another review on there of someone else that we don't even know who they are, right? They're not a customer. So thanks for giving us a really shit review, but who are you? Like, I mean, you know, we don't actually know you. And I think we did respond back to that person saying that, because we – you know, so just have a bit of a look through the reviews as well, because while some of them might be family members giving really good reviews, which is nice, be mindful of the bad reviews too. Like, what if they're giving good context to what the review is, why it's bad, that's important. But if it's just some random, oh no, we don't like them and we'll give them a shit review, it could just be a competitor just trying to bring down their Google reviews, in all honesty.
No, absolutely. And, you know, like, the fallen effect from not just – your reputation, but also, you know, the loss of revenue. There's so many, you know, staff morale, you know, there's so many ways it can be impacted if that experience, you know, is tainted by a bad review. So it's important that you actually explore that and actually review, you know, take a look at your reviews online, make sure that you are getting reviews. And if you are getting reviews, make sure someone's reviewing those and actually checking in and following up and acknowledging. You know, I talked earlier about acknowledgement. Mm. You know, it's not just what you get via email or via your website. It's also about what you get online. You know, it's open to the world.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to be responding to those and doing it promptly, so your customers can actually see that you're actually, you are responsive. Because, you know, feedback's one thing, but it's how you respond to that feedback that's important.
Definitely. So, all right, anything else?
No, that's it, Joe. I think,
another good episode. So hopefully that's been some help and had you thinking a little bit about your own customer journey. How do you do that? If you do want some help with that, we'd be able to help you with that through EYB. So, or Jigsaw, but EYB is probably the area of Jigsaw, the Jigsaw group, that would be most likely to help on that. That is our collaboration between Martin and I. It's our business, our advisory business. So, feel free to get in contact and we can give you a bit of a hand with that. That's pretty much it for the week. So thank you, Joel, for once again producing our podcast. Thank you for listening. Please share us out with your friends. And if you want to leave a review, a good review, I hope, please do. And or follow us on the platform you're listening to, whatever it is. But, whatever you can do to help us with our podcast, we would love that. And we'll be back in your – or I will be back in your ears on Monday for the weekly wrap. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Money Honey Media would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which this podcast is recorded and produced. We pay our respects to elders both past, present, and future, and to all Aboriginal people who are listening to this podcast.